Welcome in the special Saturday evening edition of On Texas Football, recruiting weekend style. CJ Vogel in Austin. They're having a big specialist camp, big man camp at Texas, as they always do that second weekend in June. CJ, I mean, look, there's some of the top specialists in the state of Texas and the country are in Austin in that 25 and 26 class. So we'll see if Texas, and deep snappers, by the way, we'll see if Texas throws out an offer in 25, maybe a deep snapper, that could be a possibility, or any 26 and at kicker, or 25 at kicker, PWO, whatever. We'll see if anything comes of that. And I think you have a little news. I think one of the state's top 2026 offensive linemen is in Austin today.
Yeah, that's right. So it's going to be a busy weekend, not only for the coaches with the official visitors, but behind me as well at the Denny's Fields. They're getting some work in, obviously. The specialist going on, that'll be Jeff Banks and Jeff Crosby, the special teams assistant and analyst on the staff for the Longhorns, as well as the big man camp. So Kyle Flood out here. Not a busy week for him necessarily with the official visitors. Those are coming in the next two weekends. But the big man camp, that special 2026 visitor is obviously Katoa out of Euless Trinity, 365 pounds, big human. Getting him on campus is big. He was on Oklahoma a week ago, so he didn't make it for the elite camp, but he's out here today getting his work in with Kyle Flood and the Longhorns.
And for Texas fans, how good is Toa Katoa? He is him and John Turntine could call Kyle Flood and Steve Sarkisian and commit to Texas today, right now.
Definitely.
In the 26 class on the offensive line. That's how talented those two guys are, how much Texas likes Toa Katoa. They were by in May, Kyle Flood, to watch him work out in person. All right, but at the tip of everybody's tongues, the official visitors. And the official visitors on campus, they've seen the Lamborghinis. They've been through the Texas experience this morning, which is, I think, is a huge part of this recruiting weekend for Texas. That is when the visitors and their parents circle, whoever they have with them, sits down and goes over the player development, the academic support, the nutrition, the strength and conditioning, all those things involved with the football program. They're so integral in the success of the football program. And we mentioned it yesterday, CJ. This is I call it culture weekend a little bit. I'm not being a culture warrior here, but this is where it comes from. We have really good culture to these guys being on campus, being around the team, being around the coaching staff, parents as well, and they see what's real and what's not on these visits. So it's a huge weekend for Steve Sarkisian. Why don't you take fans through kind of what some of these guys have been doing. I mean, look, there's about 700 pounds of DL rolling around a couple hours ago before they went to Topgolf.
Yeah, no kidding. I wanted to touch a little bit on the culture, right, because that's kind of been a hot topic with, obviously, the special entry that we saw with Josiah Sharma yesterday. Texas had the Lamborghinis out, but as you mentioned, this is a very important opportunity for these for these families and players to get an idea of what the Texas program is all about. Of course, you see the shiny cars, you see the entrance, and I think some fans on social media of other programs probably take that as, yeah, they're just buying their players. They're not necessarily going out and building those relationships. Last night, they had a great opportunity to sit across from the coaching staff, several players on the team, and just kind of get to know them, speak about what their experience is like at Texas and the university down here in Austin, as well as them getting into a uniform, going through the photo shoots. Today, we saw Josiah Sharma and Myron Charles riding around the campus, right? I mean, they were in style, and so they're taking it in. They're experiencing the campus. They are at Topgolf currently as we're filming. Yeah. They're getting back to campus this evening before they go through another player recruit social evening dinner tonight. Again, last year, this is the evening that you saw CJ Baxter put on a show with the karaoke. We'll see what they have in store this evening, but it should be a very opportunistic opportunity for the Longhorns this evening in terms of building that culture.
So the players, as CJ said, they're at Topgolf. This morning they had what was called the Texas Experience. Now they're at Topgolf. The one of the big key meetings happens around 6:30 before the dinner and the social. I think the parents have the lake boat cruise tonight with the staff. That'll be after dinner. But look, the meeting with the position coaches is around 6:30 before dinner after the guys come back from Topgolf, get a little relaxation time. But that's a big meeting because that's when you're on the board. It's the underrated part of this. That's where a Josiah Sharma and a Myron Charles are in Kenny Baker's room and they're on the board. They're breaking down film. They're going kind of through a team meeting as a defensive lineman with Kenny Baker at Texas. Javion Hilson the same with PK, right? Then you have Caleb Chester the same with Terry Joseph. And Tanook Hines, hey, what room is he in? Michael Terry, what room are they in? Are they in the athlete room? They don't have an athlete room. They're going to be in a position room at 6:30 at some sort. But, again, we need to touch on this, CJ. The Tanook Hines visit is so interesting because he's been telling on Texas football since early mid-May that Texas had been through, they wanted him to come on an official visit. And Tanook Hines, the four-star receiver, who's going to play receiver and safety for Dekaney this year. Guys, some colleges think he's a dynamite safety prospect. We call him a receiver/athlete on Texas football. We've had him as a four-star prospect the whole time. The industry's wrong, but that's another conversation. But Tanook Hines had said June 21st through 23rd for a possible official visit. And that kind of made sense because that's when Nick Townsend, the big-time tight end who's at Bama this weekend, is scheduled to be at Texas. But Texas went ahead and got him on campus this weekend. That was really late in the game. That was like a Thursday night type of decision because Hines was initially scheduled to be at Baylor. So comes to Texas instead, has Notre Dame next week, and we'll see if he goes to Ole Miss on the 21st through 23rd or Texas A&M or somebody else. He was at USC with Nicholas Townsend last weekend. But Tanook Hines, guys, Texas fans, he's 10-4-5, yeah. Personal record in the 100. 10-5-3 at the state meet. And look, how much faster some of these guys, they develop, they progress at different stages. He ran 10-8-9 last year. He dropped to 10-4-5, 10-5 this year. He didn't run anything over 10-6-8 this year. His first meet of the year, he was 10-6-8. And then it started dropping. And he went 20.70 flat in the 200 meters to get second to Jelani Watkins, who may actually be a blur. So he got second to one of the fastest track football guys in the country in the 6A 200 meters as well. And he long jumped as well, a big number for Tanook Hines. So one of the top athletes in the country, a guy that Notre Dame and USC have been on a long time. Texas has liked for a while, but then they made this push in this May evaluation period, and Tanook Hines is now on campus. So it's a good group of official visitors. I think Caleb Chester, I'm hearing some positive things on Caleb Chester. That was a kid that Texas probably had the lead for headed into this visit. I hear that things are going extremely well there so far with Caleb Chester, the corner out of Fort Bend Marshall. Everything's pretty much on track for these official visits. Now, CJ, let's talk about how these official visits conclude. We kind of went through. They were doing Topgolf about 2 p.m. today, right? They have the position meetings at 6:30. Then they go have dinner with the families and the coaching staff and their player hosts. Ryan Niblett's hosting Tanook Hines, by the way. So then they go, players go break off, visitors, the kids break off with the players and have a night hanging out. The parents go on a social, the Lake Austin boat trip with the Texas staff. Then tomorrow morning is the big one. It's breakfast at Four Seasons with the staff. And then those guys, one by one, go meet with Steve Sarkisian before they exit and leave their official visit. So it's a big, what are you talking about, 16 hours coming up for the Texas staff here. Definitely. From the position meetings to the time spent with parents to the meetings in the morning with the kids and parents, then those meetings with Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, that conversation with Sarkisian, specifically for guys like Tanook Hines, was late add, and Michael Terry, very important. Of course, kind of projecting where they see fit, how Texas will continue to pursue them in their recruitments as well. A quick note on Michael Terry. I was told last night that there were conversations about him playing at the defensive side of the ball at Texas, and he was receptive to it. You know, we've talked about that as a big question mark about him and his recruitment. Nebraska looking at him potentially more so as a wide receiver where he wants to play, where he's been told he, you know, might have a future at a few schools. But that was really the big question mark with Michael Terry coming into the weekend. He's listening to Texas talk about a potential on the defensive side of the ball at the next level. So we'll see. Again, that conversation tomorrow is going to be very important, as well with those defensive linemen that we mentioned. Myron Charles, Javion Hilson's on campus, as well as Josiah Sharma, Jerry. It's a very important opportunity for Texas to create a lasting impact with these recruitments. As we know, those defensive linemen are very important for this 2025 cycle.
Yeah, let's go down those guys right now. So Josiah Sharma from Folsom, California, Alabama considered a leader over Texas with Oregon third and Washington in the picture. He visits Oregon next week in Alabama, the 21st through 23rd. He grew up for a couple of years in Arlington, moved back to California. His mom's from Sacramento area originally, or the Bay Area. Could they move back to Arlington? Could she move back to Arlington if he goes to Alabama or Texas? That's on the table. And even if she moves back to Arlington, that's not a guarantee for Texas. She still has family in the area. So the Myron Charles recruitment, look, Florida State's been considered the favorite. And that's not just coming from us that cover Texas. That's coming from people that cover Florida and Miami. So Myron Charles, 6'4", 290 out of Port Charlotte in the Fort Myers area. He was at Florida last week. He goes to Miami the 14th through 16th and FSU the 21st through 23rd. You mentioned Javion Hilson. This is his first trip ever to Texas. I was told he was really excited about this. He's out of Cocoa, Florida, a pretty good surf town there on the east coast of Florida, if you haven't been before, Cocoa Beach. But he was a freshman teammate of Brandon Brown at O'Galley High in Melbourne. Then he transferred over to Cocoa. But he is a Florida State commitment who's scheduled to visit Florida State the 21st through 23rd. He was also at Florida last weekend. He goes to UCF next weekend. So there's a similarity what Texas is up against with Myron Charles and Javion Hilson. Texas is the only out-of-state visit they're taking. But you know what that tells you, CJ? Texas has a lot of they're growing with kids in the state of Florida. You're the only out-of-state official visit for two or three or four kids in the state of Florida, that's saying something for the kind of cachet you have right now in the Sunshine State. And Tashard Toyce has been behind some big recruitments there. I mean, Cedric Baxter, and at the time, Peyton Kirkland's transferred out. He had a voice out of the Orlando area in the 23 class. Then last year with Jarrett Gibson, who was a star at IMG and Gainesville High. I mean, that's a former Florida commitment that's now at Texas. Baxter was a former Florida State commitment that's at Texas. So when Kenny Baker, when Tashard Toyce, when Steve Sarkisian talks to these guys, hey, man, go talk to Cedric Baxter. Go talk to Jarrett Gibson. They were committed to Florida schools at one time. Ask them if they're enjoying their time at the University of Texas. Texas has some cachet with kids in Florida. I think they need to recruit more of them.
Hey, Jared, to that point, I mean, we saw this a week ago for the June 1st Elite Camp with some of those out-of-state kids from the Deep South, whether it be Zalus Hicks coming in from Georgia. Yeah. That probably doesn't happen if Texas isn't recruiting, whether it be Georgia, Florida, California, some of those early visits that we talk about. Getting on campus early gets you that better opportunity later down the road to get that official visit. Texas, you know, I would say behind the scenes did a very good job with Javion Hilson, obviously with him not previously seeing campus and still getting him on campus this weekend for an official.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, we'll see if Texas becomes the second team battling Florida State for Hilson. I believe Texas and FSU is going to end up being the battle for Myron Charles. I've been wrong before. I think we'll see what happens with Miami next weekend, right? They'll muddy that clear blue water in South Beach. They'll just take the kid to South Beach, see in a couple of days type of recruitment. The kids stay down there. They don't really stay by the University of Miami campus, which is interesting with those visits. But they're probably right in what they do there. But I think Texas is a top two in a lot of these battles. I think Texas leads for Caleb Chester. He has A&M next weekend, Arkansas the weekend after. We went over to Nook Hines. He visited USC last week, and he's got Notre Dame next week, and we'll see who it is on the 21st through 23rd. Ole Miss has been pushing hard for a visit there. A&M's been in contact. We'll see if he takes that 21st through 23rd visit. But Texas they're in the battle for a lot of these guys. I know Texas fans like, who are they going to get out of this group? I've put Caleb Chester as the most likely right now, but let's see what happens, because this is the one thing, CJ, I'll say is there's going to be two or three, four recruitments Texas was behind entering June that they're going to win. And there may be a couple that they were ahead that they don't end up winning. I mean, that's the nature of this. But for the Texas fans saying, hey, how's this class going to finish up? I can't kind of see where the D-line commits are going to come from. I'm missing defensive backs. Some of these things that are questions we get right now. I'll say this. Steve Sarkisian's proven in the last three classes they put this thing together pretty well.
I have to tip the cap, right? I mean, we've seen what they can do in terms of these big recruitments. Of course, the month of June is very important, and we've seen them have some crazy success over the past few cycles towards the back half of the month in terms of loading up their class for the year. I'll be looking in not only this week, obviously, but the 2 weekends after this, to really where you'll start seeing some movement and some bodies being added to this group of the 2025 class, which currently sits at 10 commitments with 18 and 20 official visitors coming in the next 2 weekends. You can really expect to see the ball start moving as we head into July and see some early 4th of July fireworks, that's for sure.
There you go. So that's the Saturday evening recruiting update from Texas Big Official Visit Weekend and the Specialist and Big Man Camp, which is going on behind CJ Vogel there in Austin. We're going to leave you with this. A couple days ago, I took it to Rod Babers to break down Caleb Chester. Today, we had Rod break down Myron Charles, defensive lineman from Port Charlotte. We're going to leave this show not with CJ and I flapping our gums, but with Rod Babers talking about 4-star defensive lineman, what he likes about Myron Charles out of Port Charlotte. Thank you very much for joining in today, and Hook'em.
Hey, what's up, folks? Getting ready to break down Myron Charles, D tackle out of Florida, give you my evaluation. First thing that stands out, he's a violent player. And that's a compliment in football, where he is a violent player, plays with a streak of nasty, plays with kind of an unpleasant disposition overall, honestly. And when he hits somebody, he tackles people like they disrespected his mama. So I like, there's a brutality to his game that I really, really like. He resets the line of scrimmage. He's a guy that loves playing in the opponent's backfield. But his speed to power transition, I think that's what's most important. His BGO is not necessarily an elite characteristic, but, man, his speed to power transition is next level. There are a few guys, I don't even know what the term is, because when an offensive lineman puts a defender on their back and then flattens them, all right, by getting on top of them and blocks them down to the ground, they call it a pancake block. What is the term when a defender basically puts an offensive guy who's trying to block him on their back? He does that several times, as you can see. He'll just, the guy trying to block him, he just meets them and confronts them with violence, violent hands. Also something I like about him, but he'll confront them with violence. And a couple of times you've seen him just knock guys right on their keister, right on their back. So I don't know what that's called. Maybe the same thing as a pancake, just the defensive version. Let's call it a flapjack, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. But he's got a bunch of those. He's got a bunch of flapjacks on his resume, man. But I love the way he violently confronts blockers. There are times I think he can even avoid blockers, but he seeks physicality. This is a guy that he's seeking that physical element, man. He wants that violent collision, and he makes sure that blockers pay for it. I do love that. He's got really active hands, too. That's something important for defensive linemen. I think one of the, like I said, really elite traits about him is his speed to power transition. I think that's why he can meet blockers with such violence and with such gusto. And he can play multiple shades, I believe. I believe he has the ability to play multiple shades. And you can see there are times where they move him around just a little bit, but I think that's also some kind of versatility in this game. He's raw fundamentally, but upside is just tremendous. Tremendous. I mean, surprising hip flexibility for a guy his size. We're talking about 6'4", 295, damn near 300 pounds, but you'll notice some hip flexibility for a guy his size at times when he's getting off the line of scrimmage. So that shows me that as a pass rusher, maybe on some of those late downs, pass rushing downs, he may be a guy, you know, that can be in every down. I think that's what, if you're Texas, if you're any program right now, got to be trying to recruit every down defensive lineman, guys that won't necessarily have to leave the field, guys that aren't situational, guys you can move around, place in different shades, but can be a force in the run game, can be a force run defender early on in those passing downs on standard downs, but also be a guy that can create pressure on the passing downs. He's one of those guys I think has that kind of ceiling potentially. But the best thing about him, I said, is also the attitude that he plays with. That's what jumps out when you watch him play, is that you don't see guys playing with that type of violent intent in high school. And he, like I said, he plays with that type of violent disposition at D-line, on the D-line. So there's no doubt. I mean, he's a bully. He plays the game like a bully on the D-line. That's what I love about him. Plays with, you know, just like I said, with that type of mentality. And no matter if it's a blocker or if he is hunting down a ball carrier, this is a guy that does it with a great motor, gets down the line of scrimmage once he sheds a blocker with those active hands, trying to get down the line of scrimmage to chase. But like I said, I love his pursuit. I love the motor that he has. He's one of those guys, I think, you know, that has all the raw measurables potentially if you're Texas to be a war daddy, right? Because I think he's got the mentality more than anything. The body, he's got some of the measurables that you need that you can't coach, but you also can't coach that kind of attitude. You can't coach that type of mentality. That's natural. You're seeing that at the high school level. Unless he's got a coach that's cultivating yet, so I'm not taking nothing away from that. But what I see is that type of kind of natural, like I said, disposition with the player that I love. But he's a guy that I think is a, like I said, a quality player with a ton of upside. And honestly, the most promising thing about watching this film is just how raw he is fundamentally. I mean, his technique is not polished fundamentally. You can tell he's all over the place at times, but man, he does a really good job making up for it with motor, making up for it with tenacity, and like I said, making up for it with just violence once he gets to the point of attack. So that's what I love about Myron Charles's game. And like I said, whether it's Texas or another university, man, they're getting a really high upside prospect at the defensive tackle position. That's Myron Charles, D-tackle out of Florida.